जय राधा माधवा जय कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजन जशोदा नंदना ब्रज जन रंजन जमुना तीरा बनचा जमुना तीर बनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे Nittai Gaur Hari Bo Hari Bo Hari Bo Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol Namaṁ Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Dushatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Narayanam Namaskritya Narancheva Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirae Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nittam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 22, Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras, Text 22. Sa Shraddhaya Bhagavad Dharma Charyaya Jiggasayadhatmika Yoga Nishthaya Yogeshwaro Upashanaya Yogeshwaro Upashanaya Cha Nityam Punya Shravaha Kathaya Punnaya Cha Sa Shraddhaya Bhagavad Dharma Charjaya Jiggasadhatmika Yoga Nishthaya Jiggasayadhatmika Yoga Nishthaya Yogeshwaro Upashanaya Cha Nittam Punnashrava Kathaya Punnaya Cha Sa Shraddhaya Bhagavad Dharma Charjaya Jiggasadhatmika Yoga Nishthaya Yogeshwaro Upashanaya Cha Nittam Punnashrava Kathaya Punnaya Cha Sa Shraddhaya Bhagavad Dharma Charjaya जिज्ञासयाध्यात्मिकयोगनिष्ठया योगेश्वरोपासनया च नित्यम् पुनःश्रवकथया पुनया च That devotional service, Shraddhaya, by faith and conviction, Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service, Charjaya, by discussion, Jiggasaya, by inquiry, Adhyatmika, spiritual, Yoga Nishthaya, by conviction in spiritual understanding, Yoga Ishvara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Upasanaya, by worship of Him, Cha, and Nittam, regularly, Punnashravaha, by hearing which, Kathaya, by discussion, Punnaya, by pious, Cha, also. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada: attachment for the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying Bhakti Yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. Please repeat after me. Attachment for the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying Bhakti Yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwar, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. Purport by Srila Prabhupada: the word Yogeshwara is applicable in both the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna and His devotee also. In Bhagavad Gita, this word occurs in two places. In the 18th chapter, 1878, Krishna is described as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, who is the master of all mystic power, Jatra Yogeshwara Krishna. Yogeshwara also is described at the end of the 6th chapter, Same Yukta Tamo Mata. This Yukta Tama indicates the topmost of all yogis, the devotees, who can also be called Jogeshwara. In this verse, Jogeshwara Upasana means to render service to a pure devotee. Thus, Narottam Das Thakur says, Chariya Vaishnava Kseva Nistar Peyeche Keva. Without serving a pure devotee, one cannot advance in spiritual life. Prahlad Maharaj also has said, Naisham Matistavad Urukramangrim Sprishat Anarthopo Gamo Jadarthaha Mahi Asham Pado Rajobhishekam Nishkin Chananam Na Brinita Javat. One should take shelter of a pure devotee who has nothing to do with this material world but is simply engaged in devotional service. By serving him only, one can transcend the qualitative material condition. In this verse, it is recommended Jogeshwara Upasanaya, that one serve the lotus feet of the topmost yogi or the devotee. To serve the topmost devotee means to hear from him about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To hear the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouth of a pure devotee is to acquire a pious life. In Bhagavad Gita 7:28, it is also said that without being pious, one cannot engage in devotional service. Yesham tanta gatang papam jananang punna karmanam te danda moha nirmukta bhajanti mam drihabrata. To become fixed in devotional service, one has to become completely cleansed from the contamination of the material modes of nature. For work in devotional service, the first item is Adau Gurvashrayam. One should accept a bona fide spiritual master, and from the bona fide spiritual master, inquire about one's transcendental occupational duties, Saddharma Pritcha, and follow in the footsteps of great saintly persons, devotees, Sadhu Marga Anugamanam. These are the instructions given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami. The conclusion is that to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one has to accept a bona fide spiritual master and learn from him the methods of devotional service and hear from him about the transcendental message and glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In this way, one has to increase his conviction about devotional service. Then it will be very easy to increase attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I'll just read the verse again. Sasraddhaya Bhagavad Dharma Charjaya Jiggasaya Dhatmika Yoga Nishthaya Yogeshwaropasanaya Cha Nittam Punnashrava Kathaya Punnaya Cha. Attachment for the Supreme can be increased by practicing devotional service, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, applying Bhakti Yoga in life, worshipping the Yogeshwara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These actions are pious in themselves. So, Sanat Kumar, the eldest of the four Kumaras, the first sons of Brahma, is instructing to Prithu Maharaj. Yesterday, we discussed how he actually instructed that all the scriptures it has been concluded or it has been conclusively decided in all scriptures that after due consideration, that ultimate goal for the human, well, for the welfare of human society is detachment from the bodily concept of life and increased and steadfast attachment for the Supreme Lord, who is transcendental beyond the modes of material nature. So the goal of human life is twofold in this way: to become detached from the bodily concept of life and to become attached to Krishna. And it's actually one fold consideration. As we become attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we become detached from the materialistic way of life or bodily concept of life. On the other hand, also we can see that as we become attached to the bodily concept of life, we become detached from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Today, most of us become detached from Krishna. We have forgotten Krishna because we have become obsessed with our bodily concept of life. We are considering that the body is the self. We are identifying ourselves with the body, and as a result of that, we are thinking that this material nature is the place of enjoyment. And the goal of life is to enjoy in this material nature. And this enjoyment becomes ultimately attachment to three things: dhanam, janam, and sundarim. Material attachment leads to attachment to wealth, attachment to name and fame, and attachment to beautiful women. So, these are the pitfalls of our spiritual progress. So now in this verse, Sanat Kumar is instructing how to develop attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How to develop our attachment to Krishna. And he is giving us the process, the formula, how to become attached to Krishna. And the first thing he says is through devotional service. To practice devotional service. Practice devotional service. That is vaidhi bhakti. In the scriptures, instructions have been given how to render devotional service to Krishna. So at the initial stage, we practice that process. And this process ultimately boils down to 9 activities. Therefore, it's called Nabadha Bhakti, 9-fold devotional service, which begins with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. So these two are the most important factors: hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting. And then he is saying, inquiring about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, we are going to render devotional service to him, but who is he? We have to know him. And that knowing develops by hearing about him. And the hearing becomes motivated by questions. When we have questions, then the hearing become more effective. Because then the hearing becomes focused. So questioning is very important. Then worshipping Yogeshwara. About worshipping Yogeshwara, Prabhupada is saying, worshipping Yogeshwara here means worshipping the pure devotees of the Lord. The pure devotees of the Lord are the givers of bhakti. Devotional service can be achieved only by the mercy of the pure devotees. This is also very elaborately explained by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his book called Madhurya Kadambini. At the beginning of that book, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is considering how can one get bhakti? And he raises various considerations. Can one achieve devotional service through pious activities? The answer is no. Because pious activities can give, first of all, the pious activities are materialistic activities. And these materialistic activities can give only materialistic benefit. Benefit in this world. Through piety, one can get only material benefit. But Krishna consciousness is not of this world. Krishna consciousness is from another reality, another world. So then he has various other considerations. And eventually he is coming to the point, does Krishna give bhakti? And the answer is no. Even Krishna doesn't give bhakti. Reason, he is saying, that Krishna is impartial. Krishna is equally disposed to everyone. Therefore, if Krishna gives bhakti to some and not to others, then that will make Krishna partial. Therefore, Krishna also doesn't give bhakti. So who gives bhakti? Krishna's devotees give bhakti. Krishna may be impartial, but Krishna's devotees are not impartial. Krishna's devotees are partial. When they see that somebody is spiritually inclined, somebody is interested in understanding and knowing Krishna, they go out of their way to bestow their mercy. So in this way we can see Krishna gives Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita to everybody. Anybody can read Bhagavad Gita. But to understand Bhagavad Gita, we need a devotee. To understand the teachings of Krishna, we need a devotee. And when we come across a devotee, what does the devotee say? Become active in Karmakanda? Become active in Gyanakanda? No. A devotee goes straight, bhakti. Bhakti which is devoid of Karmakanda and Gyanakanda. Anna bhilashita sunnam jnana karmad anabritam. Free from the influence of jnana and karma. That is pure devotee. Free from jnana and karma. There is bhakti also. Jnana mishra bhakti, karma mishra bhakti. Karma mishra bhakti. The purpose of bhakti is materialistic enjoyment. Jnana mishra bhakti. What's the purpose of jnana mishra bhakti? To achieve liberation. But pure devotion, jnana karmad anabritam. No other desire. Anna bhilashita shunnam. Therefore, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, pure devotee, pure devotion has been described also free from jnana and karma. And there they have, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami used a very, very, very strong expression. He says, karma kanda, jnana kanda, keboli bishero bhanda. Karmakanda section of the Vedas and Jnanakanda section of the Vedas are two pots of poison. Two pots of poison. So Karmakanda, although it's a part of the Vedas, is poisonous. That's why we see, while churning the milk ocean, what came first? Poison. Similarly, when we churn the Vedic scriptures, what comes? Karmakanda and Jnanakanda like poison. Then he is saying, Omrita Voliya Jeba Khai. One who drinks that, thinking that this is nectar, what happens to him? Nana Joni Bhraman Kari. He travels from one to another Kodarja bhakkhan kare. He eats all kinds of abominable things. Tar janmo adhoppate jai. His life is doomed. So that is the result of following Karmakanda section and Jnanakanda section of the Veda. So that's why we see there are so many Vedic followers, but what are they doing? Most of them are impersonalists. Most of them are impersonalists. Most of them are followers of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. Either their goal is to enjoy in this material nature. Nowadays it's become very popular. Sadhus are promoting yoga, hatha yoga. What is the goal? A healthy life. Healthy life. And other material goals, purpose of yoga. Healthy life, peace of mind. But when one comes to ISKCON, what is ISKCON is saying? Reject all that. It's nonsense, waste of time. The goal of life is not material prosperity, having a healthy body, nice family, and so forth. The goal of life is to develop our unalloyed, unconditional and uninterrupted devotional service. Ahaituki apratihata. Ahaituki. No reason why we render devotional service. No condition. We are not rendering devotional service because we will have a healthy body or nice family life. Rather, when we take to devotional service, we are prepared to leave everything behind. So this is the goal of human life. Civilized society should pursue this goal. Practicing devotional service, inquiring about Krishna, serving the devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and hearing and chanting about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hearing and chanting. We hear the wonderful pastimes of Krishna wonderful activities of Krishna, wonderful qualities of Krishna. And then we tell others about that. I notice that one of the good way of learning is by teaching. Like all this year, all these last few months, I hardly had time to read. I would have my secretary read Chaitanya Charitamrita to me. That was the only hearing that I had. Or giving Bhagavatam classes, yeah. But regular hearing, regular reading was not happening. But now that I have to give the seminar on Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I have to study. Every day I think I'm spending about 4 hours studying to prepare for the classes. And then when I'm giving the classes, then I'm remembering. The understanding is becoming more and more clear. Therefore, don't hesitate to speak about Krishna. Whenever there's an opportunity, speak, because by speaking, you will increase your understanding. By teaching, you will learning. You'll be learning. Teaching is one of the best way to learn. Teaching is one of the... Like I noticed Gita Kirti Devi Dasi. She took it upon herself to teach her sons, memorize her sons Bhagavad Gita, different chapters. And in course of teaching them, she is memorizing. So I asked her, did you memorize it before? Did you already knew them before? She said, no. While I am teaching them, I am learning. So teaching is one of the best way to learn. And this is one thing also I'll tell the mothers. Please teach your children. The fathers and mothers, teach your children nicely. We'll demonstrate one of these days. These two boys, two sons of Gita Kirti, they know so many chapters of Bhagavad Gita, memorized. And how old are they? One is 8 years old, the other is 6 years old. They are reciting Bhagavad Gita by heart. I wish I had such training in my childhood. And I can tell you, if you train your children up like that, they will feel thankful to you. When they grow up, they will say that my mother and my father were so nice and they forced me to memorize Bhagavad Gita and therefore I can recite Bhagavad Gita by heart. I feel embarrassed actually when I see them reciting and I realize that I don't remember all the verses of Bhagavad Gita in this way. When one is young, one's memory is sharp. One learns very quickly when they are young. Instead of learning Bhagavad Gita, when I was a child, I learned the poetries of Tagore, Rabindranath Tagore, and I remember them still now. I don't have any problem reciting Tagore's poems, but I never learned Bhagavad Gita. So now we are entering into a culture that is the Vedic culture. And this Vedic culture will generate the children of for the future, the preachers for the future. They will grow up to become the preachers. Our society, at least in the past everywhere, it was a mundane society. They all were materialistic. As children, we are fond of so many things. But they are all mundane things. As children, we are reciting poetry. But all mundane poetry. We are fond of music. I'm sure all of us used to be fond of music. And we learned so many songs. But now the culture is changing. It's up to us to change the culture. No mundane music, but bhajan. Let our children learn to sing bhajans. Let our children learn Bhagavad Gita instead of mundane poetries. Jack and Jill went up the hill. What's the use of all that? On the other hand, let them learn. Dharma kshetre, kurukshetre, samaveta jujutsavaha. So, what we missed, let us give it to our children. Give that to our children. What we didn't get, we naturally have a craving for that. We naturally wish that I had that. For example, I know a very rich man. He has many cars. Each car costs crores of rupees. And he has 6-7 such cars in his garage. So one day I asked him, generally when I go there, I stay with him. So I asked him, why do you have so many cars? Because one or two cars is enough. And his answer was, when I was a child, I didn't have toys to play with. He didn't have toys to play with. Now, he is actually filling that, he is compensating for that loss by having toys. And he considers that to be like toys. So let us also develop that attitude. What we didn't get in our childhood, let us give it to them, give that to our children. How many of you wish that you learned Bhagavad Gita in your childhood? How many of you wish that our children should learn Bhagavad Gita in their childhood? Right. And how many of you are the parents of children here? So are you going to give your children what you didn't get? So give your children this the most precious asset that a human being can have. And that's what Sanat Kumar is saying here. The goal of life should be to develop Krishna consciousness. Become a devotee. How to become a devotee? By practicing how to render devotional service. By understanding who the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. By hearing and chanting His glory. And serving those who are engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Simple processes. And serving, Prabhupada is saying, serving means hearing and chanting. Serving means hearing. Like now that you all are here and hearing the class, it is devotional, it is service. You're rendering devotional service. Prabhupada also said that now that you're sitting in the Bhagavatam class, undergoing so many difficulties, you are performing austerities. This is real austerity. Like I saw yesterday, it was so hot here. But all of you sat through this heat without even moving from here. So that is the performance of real austerity. Because you are undertaking this difficulty for the sake of rendering devotional service. To hear you are undergoing these difficulties. So in this way, we must cultivate our spiritual life, and the result will automatically be there. You can rest assured that the result will be there. You will make spiritual advancement. So please cultivate these processes. Never deviate from these activities. Never deviate from serving the devotees of the Lord. Never deviate from hearing the glory of the Lord. Never deviate from rendering devotional service as it has been prescribed by Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada's prescription is very simple. What is the ultimate culmination of our devotional service? The way Prabhupada gave it. Very simple. 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles. That's about all. Just chant 16 rounds every day, following the four regulative principles. And Prabhupada said, then he will be responsible to take you back to Godhead. Prabhupada said that, if you do that, I'll be responsible to take you back to Godhead. Similarly, Nityananda Prabhu also said, you chant the holy name, I'll be responsible to take you back to Godhead. Jathishtang re bhrato kuru hori hori dhana manisham tato ba shamsharam buddhi tarano dayo mai lagit. My dear brothers, just chant the holy name of the Lord. Then, tato, then, ba, yours. Shamsharam buddhi tarano dayo. Then I will be responsible, dayo, of saṃsār āmbudhi tarano dāyo, to take you across the ocean of material nature. Saṃsār means material nature. Ambudhi means an ocean. This material nature is an ocean. And this ocean is so vast that this saltwater ocean that surrounds this planet is like just a small little dot. That is how big is this ocean compared to the universe. Small little dot. Not even, I was about to say drop, but then I thought that no, it's not even a drop, it's just a dot. So you can well imagine how difficult it is to go out of this material nature. But Nityananda Prabhu is saying, I will be responsible. Now when Nityananda Prabhu takes the responsibility, will he succeed? Naturally he will succeed. So you just chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and he will take responsibility. He is giving the assurance. He is going out of his way and telling that. Shamsharam buddhi tarano dayo moi lagit. I'll be responsible to take you across this material nature. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, we get the same instruction that you just become a devotee of the Lord and the rest will automatically happen. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Does anybody have any question?
I was going to write the question. It was easier to write. You were mentioning that the children, they memorize the Gita. Are they also memorizing the translation?
Yeah, sure. Whatever you teach them. Like you will notice, when they're children, they learn the language so quickly. You try to learn a new language when you're old. It's just a waste of time, right? But when you're young,
what I've seen though is in some gurukulas, they'll memorize Gita in Sanskrit, but then you ask them, well, what does that mean?
Yeah, maybe the teachers are not training them in that way. I mean, like, you teach them, they will. Bibhu Chaitanya Das, where is Bibhu Chaitanya? I don't see him. Oh, okay. Chanting more rounds to distribute more books. Is it fruitive chanting? Chanting more rounds to distribute more books. No, because fruitive is when the result is mundane. Then it is considered to be fruitive, or result is for our material benefit. But here, chanting is spiritual, distributing Prabhupada's book is spiritual. So if you want to chant to distribute more books, it is one spiritual activity for enhancing another spiritual activity. So it is not material. But if you are chanting to distribute more books to get some sort of a prize at the end of marathon, then yes, it is fruitive activity. Kishori Devi Dasi. Okay. Adanya Guru Maharaj Ji, Dandavat Pranam. Guru Maharaj Ji, jab main bhakton ka paas jati hu, apne bhakti jivan mein aage badhne ke liye kripa mangne to bhaktagan mere baat ko halke mein lekar hans dete hai. Kya mera mood sahi nahi hai? Unki paas jane ka mujhe kis mood se jana chahiye bhakton ke paas taki mujhe ve aashirvaad de sake. Agar maangne se aashirvaad de hi dete hain to maango mat balki man mein bolo par aashirvaad de dena, theek hai? So the English is, she is saying that when I go to the devotees and request them to bestow their mercy upon me, they laugh at me. And they take this appeal very lightly. So, is it that my mood is not right? Can you please tell me with what kind of mood I should approach the devotees then? So, my answer is that don't ask them for their mercy, but serve them so nicely that they'll be forced to give you their mercy. And she makes very nice cakes, and she cooks very nice prasad, and she loves to feed the devotees, so she is already practicing the process in the perfect way. Thank you, Kishori. So, next one is from Ramapriya Das. Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Dandavat Pranam. What is the meaning of one's transcendental occupational duties? Transcendental occupational duty means devotional service. Ramapriya Das, Ramapriya Das. Okay. Samjha? Jawab mila hai? Transcendental occupational duty ka matlab hai? Transcendental matlab adhyatmik jagat ka. Right? Occupational duty ka matlab hai kartavya. Adhyatmik kartavya kya hai? Bhagavad bhakti. Karna. Theek hai? So transcendental occupation means devotional service, bhakti. This one is from Narasimha, whose question is this one? Okay. You have explained that pious activities do not help for developing bhakti. Then how to understand Bhagavad Gita 7:28, Jesham tantagatang papam jananang punna karmanam. So that verse from Bhagavad Gita means one has become free from sinful activities. Alright? Free from tu antagatang papam. All the pap or sinful activities antagatam, finished. Sinful activities finished. Now how can one's sinful activities become finished? Only by rendering devotional service. And then what he does, that is the real pious activities or transcendentally pious activities. These activities of devotional service is not material. Not with any material gain. Alright. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.